हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
okay. Bhagavat Sandarbha Adhyayana 4, Adhikarna 6, The Personal Potencies of the Lord. Page 107. When the root Shakti becomes three, by its special function, which is self-manifesting, it manifests the Lord's Sarup, his Sarup Shakti, or his Sarup endowed with the Sarup Shakti. All this is Vishuddha Sattvam. This manifestation does not depend on anything else. It is Samvit when it functions as knowledge to give knowledge. It is pure. It is not touched by Maya. When the Sandini element is predominant, it becomes Adhara Shakti. Because right? Adhara Shakti means what accommodates everything, what holds everything. Because you have to have space for everything, so it's the Adhara Shakti. That's why, what do you call it? Scientists can't understand space because they don't understand the Adhara Shakti. It means you have space, but what accommodates space? Right? That's the Adhara Shakti.
What is the meaning of accommodate?
Accommodate means it's just like this pot. It can accommodate, let's say, like 3 liters of water. It can't accommodate 5.
Okay.
So the ability to hold, like this room, can accommodate a certain amount of things.
Yes.
So the point is space has to be accommodated. The planets have to be accommodated. Everything has to be accommodated. So it's what it's like. Accommodation means where you can stay.
Yes.
You know, like that. So the Adhara Shakti means that on which everything else is being able to rest. Right. So Krishna is there. So he says like the Sandini potency takes care of that. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's existence. Everything can exist on the Adhara Shakti. So we saw it as existence and as that which gives the position for, how you say? Existence. If something exists, but it still needs a place to exist within. So it's another aspect of Sat. Right? You know. The official hand out the blankets, man. Yeah.
Sounds serious.
Yeah, no, it's really good. It's good. Very good. When Samvit portion is predominant, it becomes Atmavidya. When Ladini, the essential element, becomes predominant, it becomes Guhyavidya, secret knowledge, prema. Because that's the secret knowledge. See, the knowledge about God and all that, you know, it's a rare thing to appreciate and all that, but everybody has some concept that it's an absolute. Right? So that's not actually a big problem. But that prema is the actual ultimate goal. That's the actual thing. That's then is more hidden. That we see. It's just like we saw. Tattvavadis, they weren't talking about that. People don't talk about that. They talk about going to heaven. They talk about being liberated. They talk about all these different things. And these are just straightforward because these are all on the material platform. Material consciousness can't conceive of these. But prema, the material consciousness can't conceive of. That's beyond. So that's why it's hidden. So that becomes the special. It's the secret knowledge. So Atmavidya that, you know, you understand God, you understand the living entity, you have to understand Brahman, Paramatma, how, you know, the supremacy, the absolute, you know, energy, all these things like that. That you can understand from the Samvit. But the point is, prema is the taste, the experience. That's hidden. Does that make sense? Yeah. When all three are prominent at the same time, it becomes murti, spiritual form. By the Adhara Shakti, the Lord's abode manifests. This Vishuddha Sattva is different from material Sattva. Markandeya speaks to Narayan Rishi, right? Because material Sattva is expanding from this spiritual position, right? As we said before, all the energies, they all have their material counterpart, right? So, yeah. So it's different because the material Sattva is temporary. Mm-hmm. It's not eternal. You can also only give happiness when you're either satisfied, when you're satisfied with what doing your duties in the position you have. Yes. So it's not like a positive, it just means with what you have you're comfortable. Yes. The seeming positive is when you achieve an object that you were separated from. Mm-hmm. Right? Then when you achieve it, then you call that happiness. But that technically is the element of passion. You're gaining something. So that's why from passion, you have gained it, so you're happy, or you don't have it. Right? And then the ignorance will be that destructive element and everything. Does that make sense? You know, I mean, there's, of course, overlaps. Because when you don't get the object, you're separated from, then you feel lamentation. But it all stems from passion. Because if you don't have that passion to desire it, you don't have that lamentation. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So, Markandeya speaks to Narayana Rishi. Yat sattvata purusha rupam ushanti sattvam loko yato bhayam utatma sukham na chanyat. Narada, recognize your form as Shuddha Sattva, from which arises Vaikuntha, a place which has no fear of falling and is endowed with spiritual bliss. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.8.46. Jnana, which takes shelter of the worshipper and which is the very form of this function, is manifest by Atma Vidya with the other two functions, Sandhiti and Hladini. It is produced by Jnana Sadhana. Bhakti, where the function takes the form of Priti, is manifested by the Guhya Vidya and the other two functions produced by Bhakti Sadhana. Right? So it's always which one's prominent. Right? When they're all mixed together, that's the spiritual form. That's the form of the Lord. Right? When there's the balance. But when one of them's prominent, then that makes the Dham, that makes the knowledge about the Supreme, or makes the experience of prema. Does that make sense? So they all have their functions, but then all together in a balanced thing, that's Krishna's form. So that's why always balance is what you're looking for. But within balance, everything has its position and what it does. But when it's balanced, then you have that proper manifestation. Otherwise, then you just have knowledge, you have existence, you have these things. Because we deal out of balance. So it's about the things we have, about the knowledge we have, right? So the karmis, it's about things. You know, the influence of the sandhiti. And the jnanis, it's about knowledge. You know? Then the samvit. But nobody gets the hladini. The understanding of the absolute. You know, I mean the experience of the absolute. So that's the difficulty, is that there's no balance. When there's the balance, then there's the proper thing of who you are, who's Krishna, you know, the spiritual realm, the performance of the pastimes, what everyone experiences in these pastimes. So
while preaching, it would be a deficiency if it is not about sharing the experience rather than trying to convince people based on the knowledge that the Supreme exists and all.
Yes, I mean, it's part of it, because the point is that what's the goal? It means if you're trying to convince somebody of something, you're trying to replace how they're perceiving or performing activities or what goals they have with something that's correct. So then what's the absolute existence? What's the absolute knowledge? And what's the absolute experience? So you always see as Prabhupada then brings these points up. Like that. We just think it's another topic, but that's because we're not used to Vasutraya. You know, is that these three features. Because Krishna has Satchitananda, therefore everything's divided into three. Right? So he has these three features, his energy has these three features, the jivas has these three features, material energy has these, spiritual energy has. So they all these things have these aspects. And they're all coming from the same position. Though they act in different ways. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, one thing acts in different ways than something else. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, you put a lemon, let's say, on a vegetable, and you're going to get, it'll light brighten the flavor. Right? But you put lemon, let's say, in milk, and you get curd. You know? You put it on a copper pot, it gets polished. You know? So, the same thing, but different where it's applied, it gives different results. But they're all similar. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's like the pot becomes brighter, technically. When you see the paneer, then your face brightens up. You know, so all these things are there. You know, if I say, you want some milk? Yeah, you know, like that. You want some paneer? Yeah, okay. So ultimately, it's the same effect. But there's different features on how it goes through. Does that make sense? So that's why everything can be taken back to Samvit, Sandini, and Ladini. Because these are the Anubhavas, you know, what are the effects that you see, right? The Vibhava then is what you're dealing with, right? But the Anubhava is then the effect, and the Prabhava will be the influence, right? Does that make sense? So you're taking that aspect, and then you're getting the internal, external, and jiva potencies. That'll be one form of this three. Then the other is Jnana Kriya and Icha. Right? Then the other is Sandini, Sambit, Ladini. Right? So the Anubhavas of things will be like that. That everything fits into how it's serving the Lord, fulfilling His desire. That'll be the one. And if it's the position, just the existence of it, then you have internal, external, and jiva. Does that make sense? So they all three represent those positions of Satchit and Ananda. Does that make sense? You know, so a transformation of the Sat, you get the material energy, right? Because the spiritual has that eternal manifestation. The material energy has the temporary. That's how you tell the difference, right? The Jiva is then expanded from the Samvit, right? The internal potency from the Ladini, because it's all about Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then all of these, they all have that same, you put them in that line, they all have the lines that way. Yeah. But at the same time as they also then have how they connect to each other. So therefore then the internal potency, the Ladini potency, and the Icha Shakti, then they're all performing the same activity. Right? Different features. Right. Then the Samvit, the Jivas, and the Kriya Shakti are all doing the same activities, you know, serving Krishna. The knowledge about Krishna, that activity is connected to Krishna. Right? And then the jnana, the material energy, and the sandini. They're all dealing with existence and those aspects like that. So that's why then when we're saying, because you see here knowledge sometimes also in these, where they get confusing, is knowledge is used in the position of where Sandini is, or Sat, but it's also used where Chit is. So Chit means the knowledge, but that's knowledge where you're applying it in relationships. Just having the knowledge itself, then that's the existence of knowledge. the ability to perceive the knowledge. That would be sundin. So that's why for us, just having knowledge, like armchair speculators, is not a very glorious position. Material world it may be, because, you know, they're so smart and all that. So they're seen as knowledge is an opulence. They have a lot of it. But if it's not applied, then what's the point? You know, they can say, no, but it's all this, and when you apply it, no, we get into the theoretical, it's even better. But what do kids do all day? They play with material energy. So they play with their intelligence and mind. And somehow or another, they're considered different from kids. But the position is exactly the same. They're not doing anything with it. He's sitting there and doing all this, and he's respected for that. And the big businessmen and governments will come and respect him for that. Then they'll take his knowledge, because for him it's just a speculation. And then they'll go and use it for profit, make millions and billions off of it. And he doesn't get anything, except for the enjoyment of having sat there in his chair and speculated all that. Does that make sense? So that's the position is that just having the knowledge. That's why sambandhi gyan means you have the knowledge, but until you apply it, it won't turn into prayojana. Sambandhi gyan means I know what is the field. I know who I am. I know what all the things are, what should be done, and what results you can get. But until you apply it, it's not abhideya. So when we say abhida shakti, it means the knowledge that you're going to apply. But the first step is studying it so you know what it is. Then you apply. Just like, let's say, you're learning driving. Right? But you're learning that knowledge to be able to drive. Right? You may learn it in that field, but the point is you're not really knowing it until you can do it. Right? Because the instructor's there. You do something wrong, he tells you. He's also got brake pedals. He's also got a steering wheel. You know. So, yes?
Maharaj, in our life, to get the consistency and deeper experience, how do we balance these things as mentioned here?
By following the instructions of the acharyas. So what they say is important, then you follow that. Because the point is if you're trying to please Krishna, since we saw the balance is Krishna's murti, so then if you're worshipping Krishna and serving Krishna and trying to please Krishna, why won't there be balance? But if we look at it from our own point, well, how to get the balance so we'll be happy, then it will always be hard to get the balance. Because it's already out of balance, because then it's about atmajnan and about existence. It's not about prema, because prema means Krishna's happiness. Because he's happy, we're happy. You understand? So the question is not balanced. Because it's only dealing specifically with one, but it's inferring the second. But it's not the third, it's not dealing with. So the point is balance means Krishna, the form of Krishna, his Sarup. Is that okay? Okay. Bhakti, where the function takes the form of priti, is manifest by the guhya vidya with the other two functions produced by bhakti sadhana. Right? So the other two, then bhakti sadhana takes care of everything else. You know, so bhakti sadhana is going to produce the guhya vidya. And bhakti sadhana means you're going to take that position of what you are, the knowledge of that, and apply it to please Krishna. In Vishnu Purana, in praising Lakshmi, it is said, Yagya vidya mahavidya guhyam vidya cha shobane atma vidya cha devi tvam vimukti phala dayini. O glorious Lakshmi, you are karma yoga, ashtanga yoga, bhakti yoga, and jnana yoga. You give all results, including liberation. Vishnu Purana 1.9.118. Yagya vidya means karma. Mahavidya means Astanga Yoga. Guhya Vidya means Bhakti. Atma Vidya means Jnana. Because you are the shelter of all these, you are these forms, and give various types of liberation, vimukti, and various other results, phala dayini. Right? So the energies take care of everything. It's Krishna's, by his will, they take care. But they're the forms that actually do the work. Right? But because they're not different from Krishna, Krishna's doing that work. The Murti Shakti manifests the Sri Vigraha, the form of the Lord. This is called Vasudeva, Shiva says. So when we say Vasudeva, we means the balance. Like that. You know, so then for the living entity, then you can have that balance, means he has that Atma, how you say, he has the consciousness, he has the knowledge of the Absolute, and he's experiencing the Absolute. Then he'll be on that platform of Vasudeva. But without bhakti, it won't be the eternal platform of Vasudeva, because it has to have the murti of the Lord. So if he's on the impersonal platform, he doesn't have the form of the Lord. So it's not actually a complete balance. But within the material context, it's a balance, because all the three aspects of the Samvit, Sandini, Hladini, their application, all three are working at once, and so therefore he has Brahman realization. But it's not complete, because it's not with the Lord's realm and the activities of the devotee and Krishna together. Right? So that's why it says it's only a partial aspect. Because the real form of Samvit then is all the bhavas and that of the different devotees and who performs what and that. Right? Because you see, that's the middle, the Abhideya. And Rupa Goswami is the guru of Abhideya, right? Govindaji is the deity of Abhideya. And there he's talking about what are the rasas, what goes with what, all the different things like that. So that knowledge of that. So that's why it's not sambandhagyan. It's knowledge of how the rasas, I mean all the bhavas work together to produce rasa. Then when that's applied, then you get the taste. Understanding the position of bhakti is superior to karma, spirit of jnana, and all that. That's the sambandhagyan. So that's why you see, that's what Sanatana Goswami has. Like in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, then he establishes what is the transcendental realms, what are the topmost position of bhakti. Does that make sense?
The living entity is nature to be active.
Yes.
And it's active in the spiritual realm, otherwise material.
Yes, he must be active.
So the need is to transform the, because sometimes when we are, in order to be active spiritually, when we are active materially, we see that the result is not so good. Right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes we want just a place that can say satisfaction, you know, like some type of liberation from the material world. Mm-hmm. And so what is the step needed to be active spiritually?
What's the step needed to be active spiritually?
Yes.
Yeah, because they're coming from, you know, because the jivas are expanding from something. So that means then they take part in these activities of the bhavas.
Yes.
You know, the interaction of the bhavas in connection with the Lord and his pastimes. So that's their natural position. So if they don't do that, then they'll do it on the material platform.
Yes.
And so then in between those two, then is what you're talking about there, is that then you have the living entity is engaged in, the platform of liberation, because
yes,
liberation means he's doing neither of them.
Yes, yes.
And so that's the neutral position of the Tathasta Shakti.
Yes.
Is they're conscious, they have knowledge of Brahman, and they can experience that taste of Brahman.
Yes.
like that. That's their. That's just on the Shakti. That's when Samvit is, you know, Samvit, Sandini, and Ladini are applied. That's what you'll get.
Yes.
So now what will change that is the association of devotees. That's where then you're introduced to the transcendental aspect. So without the devotees, then there'll never be any concept of going beyond this Sandini and Samvit. It means there's always an idea, because we're Ananda, we're trying to get this. But, you know, because we have an understanding that, you know, of the experience of Brahman, that has that eternal. But the problem is we're trying to see it without the Lord. So when you see it without the Lord, then you're going to have the material, you know, you're dealing with material Brahman.
Yes.
And so therefore you're trying to taste the taste in tasting material Brahman. And so that won't satisfy the Lord, the jiva, because they are transcendental. They're not made out of dead matter. But any taste they are getting is because of its connection to Brahman. So that's the thing, is that we're frustrated, is that I'm doing this, I'm getting some kind of taste, but the thing itself is not actually, I'm not getting the taste. So they keep moving from one object, sense object, to another, one situation to another. Because they're trying to find that taste of Brahman. But the problem comes is that they're trying to taste the inferior form of Brahman, because actual Brahman means Krishna. They're only getting the Brahma Jyoti aspect. And they're trying to taste it through the material energy, which is the lowest form of Brahman. So on all levels, they're just dealing with the lowest. And then you have the illusion on top of that, that they don't know that they're actually dealing with Brahman. They think that the external manifestation is actually what gives the taste. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the whole point is we think it's like, let's say, you have a cardboard box, okay? And you have a nice smooth floor, right? And you have a little kid in the box, and somebody bigger is pushing that box down the hallway, you know, really quickly. And so now they're getting a experience of speed. Even though they may be going, you know, 2 kilometers an hour, right? And so, like that. So is the box producing that? Or the running producing that? Because for someone else, then, you know, you get in, like you're an ambassador. You know, when you hit about 75, 80 kilometers, it feels like it's going to fall apart. It feels like you're going fast, even though you're not. You know, then you get in a better quality car, then, you know, you have to hit a little bit higher than that, you know, 150 or something, then you feel, okay, now there's some speed. But then for someone else, then that's nothing. You know, when you hit, you know, 200 or 300, now that's speed. So we're going to attribute it to what we're in when we get that speed, but it's actually a speed itself. So speed is because there's speedness. We can get that. And then there's speed hood, those things that can manifest speed. So we think it's the speed hood that's actually producing the speed. The speed is there before. And the speed hood is the energetic energy. But it's actually coming from the energetic. So we're experiencing the energetic through the energy. And we're thinking the energy is producing it. And so therefore we take it by the external form, that is what's producing my experience of speed. Right? When it's not. And so that's why there's an illusion. And that's why we're not satisfied. Because the jiva, because as we said, it's actual knowledge of Brahman. And that's not an actual knowledge of Brahman. Because they're seeing the material energy and they're working and tinkering with that and coming up with all the different things and, you know, what kind of motors and aerodynamics and tires and this and that, and then thinking that that's producing. But they're only dealing with it with the speed hood. You know, in other words, what speed can manifest through, the form that it can manifest through. And so they look at the mechanics there, but they have not analyzed speed. They don't even know really what it is. It's an experience. Like that. So that's the difficulty, is that they're misjudging that. So, and so then you get higher, those that give up that, looking in that, and they look at just Brahman. And so then there's a taste there, because that's more akin to the nature of the living entity, the natural knowledge that's there and experience of the living entity. But that still won't satisfy, because the living entity, being energy, is not independent. They're part of the greater. Samvit is an expansion of the chit potency, of the Sarup Shakti. And so until we're connected properly with the Sarup Shakti, then we won't actually experience our original nature. And that Sarup Shakti then is engaged in devotional service. So until we see ourselves as servants, not masters, and therefore So this whole position of understanding the aspect of servant and master and all these things, it's very important. That's why it's worked in. Everybody's servant. That's the nature of the living entity. But then you see those who have more of a problem, then there's more of the thing. Like for the king in the Vedic, what's the position? Who does he serve? Right?
Citizens.
That means everybody. And not only that, he has to take care of, that's the moving and the non-moving, human and non-human. Like one time Srila Prabhupada was walking, because he would take a tour of the whole Mayapur project when he had a free visit. And he was going around and there were some banana trees where the leaves were going a little yellow because they weren't getting enough water. And Prabhupada turned to the managers and said, why this tree doesn't have water? And they, you know, they must have mentioned something about, you know, whoever is agriculture in charge says, no, it's your responsibility. Through them, you get it done. But unless you're aware and all that, why, it's not happening because you haven't taken that responsibility. Right? Because we think sitting in the room, pushing papers around, talking, raising hands, voting, that's being responsible. But no, unless it's applied, it's the same as the armchair speculator. You know, difference, you have ones there, the one is not as, the speculator is not as worried about health, so therefore he's happy with the armchair. While the administrator or the manager's there, they'll be in the ergonomic chair. So ergonomic chair speculator. But when they apply it, now that becomes actual management, a real administration. So they have to serve everybody. Right? So that's why then it's there, the Shudra. Now, does the Shudra tend to be more bodily conscious? Yes. So that's why he has to more have that knowledge, that position of I am servant. Right? We take it, oh, you're discriminating and all that. But their mentality is different. It's all about enjoying and this and that. It's just like businessmen. Does he just want to sit back and enjoy? Right? He'll enjoy himself, but there's opportunity for business. Is he going to sit back and enjoy while that opportunity goes by? He can sit there on his yacht and just have a party for 5 hours, and during that time there's this, you know, $1 billion deal just is going by. No. He'll be downstairs in the boat on the thing doing something and doing his job. Right? A Kshatriya, can he just, you know, enjoy himself and let, you know, the marauders come in and walk off with everything and all that? And maybe Nero can, or somebody like that can, but you know, the point is no, he can't. And the Brahmin, when there's an opportunity for the knowledge to be given, and he can't sit around. But the Shudra could happily sit back and do nothing. That's perfection for him. Full pay, no work. That's what he said before. You know, and he'll just do whatever he likes, whenever he likes, however he likes, and nobody should say anything. So that's why then the emphasis is on him being a servant. Does that make sense? Just, or you take kids. You know, what do they want to do all day? Play. So therefore they have to have, so when they go to school, then there's the point of menial servant. Otherwise, why? Because they don't want to do anything. Does that make sense? So, everything, whenever there is a point that's stressed in the Vedas, it's because that's the weakness in that particular position or individual. Right? So, we take it and try to remove that so that we make it look like it's all equal. But it's there because it's not equal. Like, the guru can't play all day. He just can't by his nature. But the student could. So therefore, the student has to have that menial servants, you know, he's a student, and things like that. Does that make sense? So that's why the restrictions are there. You know, same with men, same with women. Like the men, he has to be sensitive to the other's needs, because he'll just do things for himself. Right? The women, then they have to do that. They have that mood of service, and that, because the point is the nature, the feminine nature is that it's all about them. They're the field of activity. So all attention has to be on them. Does it say when the man's neglected, he becomes angry? No, it says when the woman's neglected, she becomes angry. Right? So that's the principle, is that because of that, that's why there's this point made. So then we want to remove that, and then what do you have left with? Then what's the control? Just like fire, is there a need to control fire? Right? No. I mean, yes, you have to control fire. Is there a need to control butter? It just sits there. But fire will burn everything. So it has to be restricted to a certain place. Then it does very well, because it's so powerful. So that's the difficulty, is that it's not appreciated what's there, and so people not understanding the culture, they break down all these things that are actually the religion of the thing, the particular position or item or personalities like this. And so all in the name of equal, but all it means is that everybody has unrestricted opportunity for sense gratification. That is all that you're dealing with. Politics is only extended sense gratification. Economics is extended sense gratification. Morality and justice are just extended sense gratification. That's all they are. Now, when they're engaged in Lord's service, now they take on a higher nature. But on their own, they're only extended sense gratification. So that's why the Vedic restricts this, so that then we'll see is that, yes, we're following the laws of God, so it must be about God. In the beginning, then we're going to have concept of God, but its concept of God is only part of morality. Like, you're a good person. God's part of that. That's the thing. Or, I have knowledge about transcendence. God may be part of that. But bhakti, it's about God. And then knowledge and morality are part of bhakti. It changes. And so if you don't know, because you're dealing with the same items, you think it's the same. You know? Does that make sense? Like, we had one boy, young, when he came to the school, he was young, but he was from Russia. And so we would all cook, you know, like that. And so then he would be in the kitchen helping and this and that. And then when he got a little bit better, where he was starting to assist, he said, you know, I want to make Russian dal. You know, because we are cooking dal, you know, Bengali dal. But he wanted Russian dal. And says, what does Russian dal mean? It says you put some yogurt. I said, oh, okay. So then he cooks the Russian dal. You know, so for, I think, dal for 25 people, he put 2 liters of yogurt. Right? Because being small, you know, you might have been, you know, at the time maybe he was like 8, 9, or 10 maybe, but he had probably seen it much younger, and he was impressed with it. So then you had they probably put a little bit of yogurt, you know, inside just to give that little sour. Because, you know, normally like you put tomatoes, you put dhanyapatra, you put some lemon. A little bit of sour helps. So you put some yogurt. It's also a very standard thing to do for sour. But he likes yogurt, and he thought it was so good that he put 2 liters instead of, you know, maybe, 50 or 100 grams.
Yes.
You know? And so, yeah. So we have to be very, very careful that we'll get it out of balance unless we understand that it starts with Krishna, and Krishna said it. It's favorable to Krishna. Just like Kamsa is always thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day, but it's not favorable to Krishna, so it's not called bhakti. From that, he will get liberated. But, you know, pure devotion, that's another thing. Right? So, you know, yeah. By association, then you can get that. Because once you're liberated, now you don't have any mundane concepts. Now if you get the association of great personalities, then very quickly it'll just mature. So that's why you generally see is they start off as Sarupya, and then they end up in the other four. I mean, excuse me, in what is it? Sayuja. And then they go into the other four.
So there is no association, there is a tendency of speculation.
Yes, yes. Like that. And then that's those who are not mudas.
Yes, yes.
Mudas don't speculate. They just, you know, just react. You know. But yes, the speculation is there. Because Anuman is considered, you know, you have to use the intelligence. Yes. Pratyaksha, you just see it. Anuman, then you have to, you know, have some hypothesis there. So those who use Anuman, that'll be considered higher. But in the Vedic, it's Shabda is the highest. Then with Shabda, now you apply your Anuman until you can see it with the senses. Then you see, then it's complete. Yeah? So, okay. The Murti Shakti manifests the Sri Vigraha, the form of the Lord. This is called Vasudeva. Shiva says, Sadvam Vishudham Vasudeva Shabditam Tad Iyate Tatra Puman Apavrita Sadvecha Tasmin Bhagavan Vasudevo Hyaroksajo Me Manasa Vidhiyate. So this has been on, or it just goes on now?
It's on, but Mataji disabled the video as video.
Oh, okay, so then it works off of the local. I mean, off the tower. I was going to say, if they just came back, we could always say something that we didn't talk about, but that they don't know that we didn't talk about because they weren't there. And so.
The audio is running.
Okay. The pure Antakarna is called Vasudeva because there the Supreme Lord appears without coverings. In that Antakarna, I worship the Supreme Lord Vasudeva beyond the material senses by offering respect. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.3.23. So does he explain it here, Yantakarna? The meaning is this. Vishuddham means it is devoid of any material portion since it is a function of the Surup Shakti. That which is sattva, which is especially pure, is called Vasudeva. Why is this existence of the nature of Vasudeva? Why is this existence of the nature of Vasudeva? It is so called because yat, in that condition, tatra, Vasudeva, puman, manifest, iyate. Though beyond material vision, it is called sattva for people's understanding. In the first verse, because of similarity to the well-known sattva of this world. However, there is a second meaning. Vasudeva means he was perceived in Vasudeva condition. He is famous as the Supreme Lord. He is perceived in Vishuddha sattva. The meaning is explained by taking the conventional meaning of Vasudeva. Vasudeva can also mean he who illuminates the devatas. No, Vasayati Devam. Or Vasu can mean everything dwells in him. Vasayati Asmin. And Deva can mean he who shines or plays. Divyati. Together these two form the word Vasudeva. So the pure antakarna means the pure internal, when the pure consciousness, the pure mind, pure intelligence, the identity as servant of the Lord, that surrender, then there's no coverings. Then you can see the Lord. Right? And so then that's the actual position, how you can perceive when you're dealing with the Vishuddha Sattva, which means you see the three of those balanced as the Lord's form. Right? If they're not balanced, you don't see the Lord's form. So if you only take the Brahman aspect, the Chit aspect, you won't see the Lord's form. You know, they talk about Ananda, but it's not Ananda in a balanced form, so they won't see the form. They can't see. So we see these energies won't allow you to see the Lord, because you're not dealing with them in a balanced way. You're overemphasizing Brahman or Paramatma, you know, or material happiness, or, you know, some other aspect. And so because of this, one cannot know. Does that make sense? Yes?
Maharaj, so Vasudev Sattva, is it that full harmony that experienced by devotees only?
Yes. So it means you talk about Vasudev Sattva, that all the living entities in the position, means when they're in the material world, then they're covered by the modes of nature. At the end of the life of Brahma, then they all enter back into the body of the Lord, then they all sleep. Right? So that's like the Buddhist aspect. Right? Just nothingness. Right? And the material world is like the karma aspect. Then, when he breathes out, when you're dealing with the primary creation, all the living entities are there, but they're not in their specific universes and bodies. So in that position, then they're on the platform of Vasudeva. Because all the things are balanced. Mm-hmm. But the point is they're only seeing it as much as the jiva, the influence of these three in their balance only on themselves, because they don't know the Lord. Right? So therefore they'll be conscious, they will have knowledge of the Absolute, and they will be experiencing a taste of that Absolute, but only on that in that impersonal aspect. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why these three consciousness are what you're once constantly going through. Right? So, but when you come in contact with the devotees, now you add in the chit potency. Right? You add in the bhakti aspect. Now you become aware of the actual meaning. You're conscious of the Lord. You're conscious of the knowledge of the Lord. You're conscious of the relation, you know, that the pastimes of the Lord and his devotees. So now it expands because of iron and fire. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's the whole point, is that it's being thought, no, I can do this on my own, but with what? I can understand bhakti on my own, but with what? Bhakti is an energy. And if you're not working with it, it's like me saying, I will understand, how the 193rd, material element works. But I don't have it. How do I work with it? But other people that don't, don't have as much false ego or as much understanding, then they'll think, you're doing something. So you have the 192nd element? No, but we will. It's just a matter of time. What are they on now? 100 and... I think it's in the teens now. When I was a kid, I think 103 was the highest.
I think it was 111 this
year. 111, something like that. So if I say 192, yeah. So that's the whole point, is it says we don't have it to work with. You can only understand bhakti when the samvit and sandini potency, through that being connected with the spiritual potency, then by connecting with devotees, then only you have something you can work with. Other than that, that's why it said it's revealed. It's not by austerities, by knowledge, by holding your breath till you go blue, all this, it doesn't matter. It's not going to reveal the Lord. He reveals himself when he's pleased. Then his energies expand, we come in contact with the devotees, then we're able to appreciate. So that means how you say it. You can give those kind of explanations, but then you have to have all the background to appreciate. Yes. So that's why you see Prabhupada just uses very the same essence, but just uses something practical that general people can understand. You know, you just take that, you can't understand something unless you have, so you can't speculate and understand beyond the senses. It is also said, dharma ishtam dhanam nirinam. The respectable wealth for human beings is possessing dharma. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:19-39. Since vasu means wealth, and wealth means dharma, Vasudeva can mean he is revealed, Deva, by wealth of dharma, vasu, in the form of bhakti. Right? So that's then how he's revealed, because that's the point of it. So, like it says, the wealth of the Brahmins is their renunciation. So that's dharma. So dharma is their wealth. So that's the actual wealth for human beings. Other things, it means if you have this wealth and have others also, it's nice. But if you don't have, then it's still great. Like Sudama Vipra, he is the most wealthy. Right? Because of that, then he's glorious. Then if you don't have any material, external material wealth, or you do have, it doesn't matter. It works. For him, it works. He's still the same. He still has the same consciousness. Right? But other living entities, they think that only by material wealth, then you are something special. You know? But as was pointed out by Alexander, is that if he wasn't the emperor, then he'd want to be Diogenes, who had nothing. He just lived in a barrel. You know? So that's the whole point. You know, because he liked the facility, but his pointing out is that's because there, but it's actually he's coming to Diogenes. So that means Diogenes' position is superior, and he's respecting that. But because he's attached to the material, therefore, because he is this, then if he didn't have this, then he would go for Diogenes. Yes. You know, he knows it's the first option, but since he likes the position and the authority, then it's there, so he's taking it. Yes. Thus, Vasudeva means Vishuddha Sattvam. The Vigraha, a self-manifesting light, is revealed by knowledge of the Lord. Kaivalyam Sattvikam Jnanam Rajo Vaikalpikam Chayat Prakritam Tamasam Jnana Man Nishtam Nirgunam Smritam. Knowledge concerning the jiva, apart from the body, is in sattva. Knowledge with various opinions of doubt is in rajas. Knowledge of material life is in tamas. Knowledge concerning me, however, is understood to be beyond the gunas. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:25-24. So that'd be Uddhava Gita. No? So, the jiva, apart from the body, that's sattva. But then when you have knowledge of various opinions and doubt, so that's the thing is, even though we're given what's the absolute, we have to contemplate in such a way as to produce doubt. Then we can present opinions and this and that because of that. And then we say is we have to have material skills and knowledge to progress in bhakti, and that's adding in tamas. So what is our background? Tamas with a touch of rajas. So we use the touch of rajas to take ourselves out of sattva and place ourselves in tamas. So we have to be a little careful. Because we have to remember, Maya is so smooth. You know, I say, she's the ultimate smooth operator. You know, you don't even know. And she's already covered you. And so now you think you are doing so fabulous. Yes?
In this relation earlier, there was another point given by Jiva Goswami. He says that in ability to see something which is not normally seen is in sattva. And seeing many forms for one's own enjoyment is in rajas. And seeing a form as indestructible, anything as distracting one's own thing that is in tamas.
Or anything that's getting in the way of your enjoyment, your facility, that's tamas. So then breaking down all tradition and everything like that is in tamas, because you're saying it's getting in the way of my sense gratification. And then it's driven by passion, because I see so many options I can enjoy myself, but this traditional, you know, viewpoint or shastra or tradition is getting in the way of me enjoying that, then that you're seeing now in ignorance. And so then one functions in passion and ignorance, and then one simply says, we're not the body, you know, we're the soul, to, you know, put aside all tradition and all that so that we can get whatever we want. Pretty far out. Yes?
If we take it one step further, we can see Pratyaksha is in tamas, Anuman is in rajas, and then Shabda, it depends on what it is, but if we just take general Veda, that's in sattva.
Yes.
And of course Bhagavatam is in shuddha sattva.
Yes, that's very good. Yes, because then we take it by what is perceived, or how people then do, and that makes the opinions, because anuman means then opinions and doubts, and everybody has their own, you know, we agree to disagree and that kind of jazz.
Mundane logic.
Yeah, mundane logic. Nice. Yeah, so the material vision, you know, pratyaksha, that'll be ignorance, the material anuman, that'll be passion, then accepting the Veda, that's goodness, but accepting Bhagavatam and his perspective and devotion, that's pure goodness. Nice. In many places in scripture, knowledge of the Lord is proved to be beyond the gunas. That is shown by the word Vishuddha. It is clear that it is self-manifesting, arising from the Sarupa Shakti. Being perceived in sattva also means that the Lord is perceived by the senses, which are Vishuddha sattva. Right? So when the senses are purified, that's what I said before, in that purified state, when the antakarana is pure, then you can appreciate the Lord. So that means then there has to be, when the antakarana is engaged in the Lord's service, then that purity, then one can understand the Lord. The function of the Sarupa Shakti is described in Srimad Bhagavatam 4.3.23, quoted above. Vasudeva, 4.3.23, which was the 4.3.23. Here. Oh, the pure Antakarna is called Vasudeva because there the Supreme Lord appears without coverings. In that Antakarana, I worship the Supreme Lord Vasudeva beyond the material senses by offering respect. So, beyond the material senses, so that means the pure Antakarana means which is not using the material senses. Okay. Here. The function of the Sarupa Shakti is described in Srimad Bhagavatam 4.3.23, quoted above. Vasudeva, Puman, appears, iate, uncovered, apabrita. If he were a material sattva, the Lord would merely be like a reflection. A reflection in a mirror is covered by dirt and then is uncovered by cleaning, but is still not the real form. This form as sattva is intensely contemplated vidhiyate by me and my mind. Sattva becomes one with the mind. Otherwise, it would not be possible to meditate on the Lord with the mind. So it's not that you're removing a covering of something that still is covered. Because the mirror's material, you remove the covering there. So then you can get sattva. But Vishuddha sattva is beyond the modes. And so it's only by the function of the Sarupa Shakti, the internal potency, that then the mind comes to that transcendental position, because it's of the chit potency, it comes to that transcendental position. Right? And in that chit potency, then you're able to perceive the Lord. Otherwise, on the material platform, you can't perceive the Lord. Does that make sense? Okay. One should... okay. So then here, when these come up like this, maybe put in the little brackets, you know, Shomshaya or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's a doubt. One should simply meditate using the mind. Why is sattva necessary? Right? So then the answer, it is necessary because he, the Lord, is beyond, adho, knowledge of the senses. Akshaja. Instead of manasa, sometimes namasa, by obeisance, is seen. And instead of he, the word anu is found. The Lord, who is revealed by his Surup Shakti, is served, anu vidhiyate, with obeisances, namasa. The Lord is not revealed by the mind or obeisances, right? It's revealed by the Shakti. It's revealed in the mind, but it's not by the mind. That's why we can't, by meditation, you know, or analyzation or anything like that, know the Lord. It's within the mind, then this Rupa Shakti comes and then manifests there. The Lord is not revealed by the mind or obeisances. The Lord who is not seen by us is served by us using obeisances. This meaning makes sense. So he's not, so therefore we're the ones that are offering and doing these things. Yeah, so he's pointing out the mind can't do this. Since Vasudev and Murti are the very form of Vishuddha Sattva, which reveals the form of the Lord, Murti is famous as the wife of Dharma in manifesting Narayana. Or Narayana appeared from is the sons of Murti and Dharma. Persons like Anaka Dundabi should also be considered to be Vasudeva, basis for the Lord's appearance. Right? So that's Vasudeva, and he's Vasudeva. Right? By consulting the text, it is understood that those Shaktis who manifest as Shraddha, Pushti, etc., manifest their portions as Murti, taking the form of the wife of a portion of the Lord's Shakti, Dharma, father of Narayana. Yeah, so you see, as everything becomes nicely connected. Four, right? But we see as, what's the difference here? Right? Now here is, we're making these connections, but it's not that we haven't heard these things before. Right? But, in hearing these things before, how will we look at it? We'll look at it as situational.
Yeah.
It's just some knowledge and situational, something to memorize or something of interest or like this. But in actual, it's talking about Krishna's form, it's Bhagavan. But how Bhagavan is manifest through then his energies that have, that means when there's that balance, proper balance of Satchit and Ananda, you know, in the living entity imbued with bhakti. Then one can understand the Lord. So it's not coming from situational, it's coming from, it's the descending aspect. You understand? So that's how we can hear these things, read them many times, and at one point we see the situation connects to the Lord, then the activities, then we see like this. So you just slowly, gradually the consciousness goes up, we perceive more and more. Yes?
It's that's why just reading the names, one is elevated. Names of different, like, you know, people in the lineage, because all those names are just perfectly fitting, like how the potencies are.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, very nice. Nice. You understand? No, he's saying is that, you know, because of that, because here we wouldn't have known that connection, you know, about how Murti and Dharma and all this and how then Narayana Rishi manifests. So he's saying is that it always mentions in the Shastras, just by hearing the lineage of like the kings, or the explanation of all, you know, the holy places, or all the chapters of the work and what's to be done, and you know, all the parts that we would rather not listen to, you know, you get purified, because all these things, even though we don't know it, all these things, what energies, what's together, what comes before what comes after what's connected, related to what. Those are all there by the Lord's potency, by the, it's already the Lord's arrangement. That's already there. So just by hearing, we become purified. Yeah. So, yeah. Otherwise, then. Yeah. You know, I think it's pious, but it's pious because it connects to the Lord. Mm. Like that's the.
And Maharaj, if we don't hear, means we can hear the mind, and it is Maya.
Yes. No. Well, it means you're going to listen to something.
Yeah.
So whether we listen to Shabda or we listen to our own mind, you know, in connection with the senses, because that's the whole thing. We perceive something, we get an experience, right? So it's all been direct perception, you know. But it doesn't mean that there's not, you know, imperfect senses, cheating, illusion, and what's the fourth one? Mistakes, yes, mistakes. You know, whichever, wherever you start, one will be left out. You know, it's like that. So we're making a mistake, but still, we're thinking, and for us, it's concrete. It's authority. So now, when we hear from authority, now we're going to compare our experience with that. And so it's our authority against Veda's authority. Naturally, we'll want to take our authority. But if it's in line with us, we take those ones. And if it's not in line, then we don't take. You know, that's why you'll be reading the Shastra, reading purports, and somebody will object because politically it doesn't fit, or because of this, or you can't say that today, and all that, because that they're taking their own authority as equal to or greater than. So in other words, God is part of their morality, not that He is morality. Right, he's part of their knowledge, not that he is knowledge.
Yes.
Right.
It makes a big difference.
It makes a big difference. So that's what you see, is that, but how do we make this mistake? Because in the material world, we only know this approach.
Yes.
We only know the inductive approach.
Yes.
Because it's always going to start from us in pratyaksha.
Yes.
You know, what's good for our senses, and that's what we work. Right? And so that's there. So it's going to, that's our authority. And so this is a new thing for us that you're hearing from others. So in the Vedic, then there's the acceptance that, yes, the Vedic version and the Vedic literatures, then there's Shabda and all that, but we're still taking it how it fits in with our life. You know, where do I fit? And so it has a wide range, so everyone can find a spot. You know, everybody can find, you know, so a position for themselves. But it's still, we're looking at it from the inductive. No matter how Vedic they are, without bhakti, it will be inductive. So we're just used to inductive way of looking from the senses. So therefore, I see this, then, you know, if you say Shabda, it has to corroborate with what I've seen. You know, it's just like on the Purnima night, you know, whatever it was, 68 or 69, then or 67 or something like that, then, you know, I saw on the television, you know, that they showed the moon, they went to the moon, I went outside, there's the moon.
Yes.
So, pratyaksha for me,
yes.
You know, like that. You must have had the Madison Avenue guys come up with that one. You know? You know, and so therefore then when the Shastra says they didn't go to the moon, no,
yes.
That's wrong. Because,
yes.
But did you actually see? No, you thought you saw. But the point is, it was done in such a way that you accepted it. You know?
And so it was confirmed by many people.
Yeah, it's confirmed by everybody. Oh, did you see that and that and everything like that? And then it just goes, you see it in the paper, see, it's all confirmed. You know? Yeah, you never know what's going on. It's just like I remember, I think it was Rasaraj who was explaining that there's one theory by one person. He put it up. It was more kind of a point of interest that they can't disprove. So it has to be accepted as a viable principle. But it's just, you know, it's not what anybody else looks at. You know, how we look at, we're on the outside of a sphere, you know, on the earth, on the surface. And then from there we go out into space. And when you go out, everything becomes smaller, right? So he gave a thing with all the mathematics and everything about how we're actually on the inside of the sphere. And by the dynamics, when everything goes in, it just becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. Physically becomes smaller. We're taking it, no, it's the same, but we just perceive it that way. He's saying no, and he showed the mathematics how it actually becomes smaller. Mm-hmm. You know? I don't know if they've disproved it by now, but mm-hmm. that was back in the 90s. And, you know, it's just... So there's all kinds of far-out things like that. And so all these things are there. We don't know. So it's just whatever we're presented with, we accept. You know? So that's the difficulty, is that we have our own samskaras. And then because of that, that creates, as mentions, doubt. You know? And so that's the mode of passion, where we doubt the scriptures against what we're saying. You know, so that's the thing. If we want to clear that, then yes, the motive is motive goodness, even though the doubt is there because of past experience with passion. And so therefore, then, by hearing the philosophy and this and that and the association, then that doubt is cleared. But if it can't be cleared, that's called a misgiving, because we're attached to it. Then it's not sattva. Then that's rajas. It's in rajas, supported by rajas, of rajas, by rajas, for rajas. You know, and so then it's very hard to get rid of those. You know, does that make sense? So you'll see things that are simply, they're brought up today and they become topical again. But most of these things, these were issues. I mean, people out marching in the streets back in the 60s, literally. And then it comes back up in the news. So then it comes back up with because it's a misgiving. Right? You know, it wasn't in the news, so it just goes by the wayside. As soon as it comes in the news, it's reminded. So that's the whole thing, is that this Vasudeva then means that we're the purified consciousness. And why? By the association of devotees, hearing and chanting, these direct activities, devotional service, the heart becomes purified, the antakarna becomes purified, then you can perceive the Lord. But otherwise, then the attachment to these doubts come up from passion. You know, then what was the ignorance? The obstacles to enjoyment?
Destruction
of obstacles to enjoyment and things like this. And, you know, it's just that aspect. Or if you can't enjoy, you become angry. And so that, because anger is connected with ignorance. And so these elements come up. So that's the point, is by good association, by that, by having that firm faith, dhridhavrata, as we were reading in Chaitanya Charitamrita, then one is fixed and it moves forward. So that was the whole point. Maharaj Prataparudra, because of his fixed faith, no matter what was happening, right? So then he becomes a candidate for receiving the Lord's mercy. So that's the point, is that then it's revealed. Then the energy is revealed. Is that correct? Yeah. Okay. So, Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.